What is up, feasters? Welcome back to another fantastic episode of the Anime Feast. I'm your host, Dominique, and with me, as always, we have my fellow Minecraft diggers, Minecraft crafters, ready to enter the nether portal.
So, Tuan. What up? I don't really play Minecraft because I'm not the creative type, but, you know, I'll still take those diamonds if you got them.
And Matthew.
What up, everybody? It's like, Dom, have you ever played Minecraft?
Yeah, Dom. We used to play it. We didn't play it a lot, but it was like Kara's thing for a while. So that was something that we could play together because we both had PlayStation 4, so we could be in the same room or area and just like do online play. And I would just join her server and we could do Minecraft together.
That's cute.
That's adorable.
Yeah, that's adorable. You guys are like a couple or something like that.
Yeah. Interesting enough, we had it a while for a couple of people who joined our server. Like, I think Tanner made a house in the server. You didn't do it, Tuan, did you? You like?
Yeah, I joined in. I was making like a huge castle.
That's right.
This thing was big.
You made a big ass castle in the distance.
It had a moat and every. Well, it had a moat. It had a like waterfall going through it. Yeah. That's about all I've done.
Yeah, we crafted a little bit, not a tiny bit. I might get back into it. And I know it'd be great for streaming. So, but guys, welcome to the podcast. We are excited to have everybody on. And before we dive any further, make sure if you are watching on YouTube, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button. Ring those notification bells. Like the page.
Helps our algorithm. Share us with your friends. You know, we're a feast, so you got to share with everyone else.
But guys, today we are diving into some of the most disrespectful moments in anime. They are always a large variety, and you know, disrespectful, I guess, is subjective to some. But I think you guys will agree with some of the ones we're gonna have on this list because, man, oh man. Is the disrespect real in different parts of anime? And I guess one to start off with is just something a lot of people always talk about. And it is obviously Hunter x Hunter when Kurapika fought Guba. I forgot his name already. I just had it. Uvo. And
Uvo, yeah.
and he, after the battle was over, it is Kurapika is burying Uvo with the shovel. And everyone's belief is that Kurapika brought a shovel to the fight, and that is incredibly disrespectful to just come to a fight with a shovel.
I mean, it's responsible though. It is disrespectful, but I mean, Kurapika, he decided that his whole power was going to be based on, you know, the Phantom. Was it the Phantom 10?
The Phantom Troop.
Yeah.
They're just calling them the spiders.
Yeah, the spiders. But his power is solely based on them, grows off of his hate, and literally will kill him if he decides that he can't beat the spiders. So,
yeah, if he uses this as a technique against anybody who's not the spiders, that's what kills him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it was nice for Kurapika to check it out because Uvo was the strongest of all the Phantom Troop, at least physically the strongest. Mm-hmm. I think he probably had the weakest power of everybody to get just because, I mean, super strength, cool. But even still, like, Uvo still put up a great fight. I mean, he broke Kurapika's arm, but just couldn't have enough. It's too bad he's a spider.
That's funny. I saw a meme that was like, oh, Uvo talking to Kurapika, I'm going to kill him. And then it like cuts to Uvo being buried. He did not kill him. He actually died.
Now, my only thing is that Kurapika is a conjurer. So I'm unsure if he actually brought a shovel to the fight or if he just conjured the shovel after he beat Uvo. That's my only thing.
I don't know. I feel like it also wouldn't be that hard to find a shovel. Like, maybe he went out and
he was in the middle of the desert, so.
Yeah, like, so he could have left the body, went and got a shovel, and then came back. But also, like, he kind of shown too much respect in a way by burying him. He could have just left his body there. Because, like, as a hunter, you have a license to kill, so no one is going to question you just going out and killing this man.
Yeah, but I guess still it's right to bury, you know, bury the body.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a respectful thing, but just like the thing to do with bodies. But hey, either way, Kurapika did that damn thing. He went out there, killed Uvo, and he was like, go bitch ass in the grave.
Also, that was such a good fight. Like, wasn't that right after the Greed Island arc?
Oh, no, that's way before. This is York New City.
Yeah.
It was a second fight because they fought one time, but Uvo, I think, he got stunned pretty much.
Yeah, the first time they fought, like, he was captured the first time. And they took him to their base, and they were going to, like, try to get information out of him or whatever. But they were dumb and didn't underestimated the troop and let the troop disguise themselves as, like, the mafia members that were going to come pick him up or something like that. And it was actually, you know, the troop came in, killed some people, and took Uvo with them.
Because I think, because Uvo got the poison guy, he put some toxins on him, that's why he couldn't move.
Yeah.
And then when he was on his back, he just screamed and burst his eardrum so loud that he kind of hit an aneurysm.
That was when he fought I forgot what they're called, but they were like the 13 Shadow ghosts Force. Or shadows, or yeah, or whatever, of the mafia gang members. And that was quickly dispelled by Uvo. He was like, for the porcupine guy, I'm just going to use him. I'm just going to, like, you know, bash you. Or no, I think you bit him for the... screamed to bust somebody's eardrum. Then the worm guy, he just, like, punched into the earth, or like destroyed the earth or something. Like, it was crazy. Like, you guys are weak sauce.
Weak sauce. And that was
gosh, that man was deadly, and Kurapika put him in the ground.
It's like Phantom Troop just disrespected everybody. And then even before that, was it Hisoka versus Gon, the first fight of them, the first real fight, not like the one on the Hunter Island, but when they were in the Sky Tower, the Battle Tower scene. And Gon got one lucky hit on him. Hisoka pretty much just ruled that fight. He didn't move. He didn't move for most of the fight. He just stood there and he's like...
he has a bungee gum. He doesn't need to move. It's a strategy of his, but also, you know, Hisoka loves the fight.
It does, but Hisoka, he didn't move. It's like a Gon a punch before Hisoka decided to move his legs for one time.
That's just the difference in their ability.
Mm. Yeah, Hisoka's also like a grown-ass man who has, you know, an in-depth knowledge of his power, where Gon, he is just breaking the surface of it, and it's the most basic attack, which is John Ginn.
Not the only thing he had that at that point either. He was still trying to... They didn't even focus, like, all their Nen abilities or anything. They just know to seal themselves so they don't get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Any more moments or any more comments on that moment in particular?
No, I think the Kurapika Uvo one's pretty straightforward, just the disrespect of bringing a shovel to a fight.
Shovel to a fight, knowing you're going to bury the body. So my next one is, you know, I love Madara. We're going to talk about Naruto. The moment when Madara told the 5 shinobi army, hey, you forgot about the second meteor. Like, the unnecessary second meteor, because they have already been beat to a pulp by one man. And then he sends out a meteor that they can barely beat, like, barely stop. And then he's like, oh, you forgot about the second one. While he's sitting in the distance, you know, just observing the fight, and he's like, oh, that's pretty impressive, but you forgot about the second one.
Just, cool, you stopped the first one, but what are you going to do about the second one?
Just the fact that he was sitting down, like, while they were dealing with it, because he was like, I don't need to do anything else right now. That was a disrespect for me. Why he's sitting down while they're dealing with this deadly attack, and then barely surviving one attack just to have another one coming nonchalantly.
Yeah, dropping the meteor for, I think it was like Anoki to use his particle techniques to, like, lighten the weight of the meteor, stop the meteor, and then Madara would be like, oh, yeah, good job!
And then Gaara was using his sand to, like, you know, catch it on the bottom as well.
What about the second one? Poof. Just got to wipe them all out.
Madara was pretty much disrespectful that whole
arc. When you were saying that, I thought Like I just immediately thought of, I mean, also when he was fighting the five Kages.
Yes.
Because he straight up looked at them and he was like, one of you, he was like, oh, it's five, you know, you five versus me, that's not fair. And then he like made the clones and he was like, now it's probably one for all of you instead. And he was like, but here's my question for you. Do you want them all to have their perfect Sasanos or no? Like pretty much letting them know, like, you're all bitches, but how strong should I make my clones? Don't I need to weaken my clones for you?
Like, also, the fact that he was like, I'm only going to take this out once. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't need any more than that.
Yeah. Like if you beat this, oh, well. But, you talking about that Madara makes me go back to the moment of the old Madara, the second Madara, which also y'all know was Toby saying that he was Madara, but not being that either, just being Obito. But, when he was fighting Naruto in the group there, I think it was Naruto, B, maybe Kakashi, and Guy. And after like the Biju bomb techniques, because you know he had control of all the Biju except for the 8-tails and 9-tails. And as they were fighting, he went to go grab his fan, and then he saw water dripping from his arm, and he was like, "Am I sweating? No, it's just rain. These fools can never make me sweat." And like that's just so disrespectful. Like these fuckers could never. No, these fools—they're not good enough to make me sweat.
I didn't even notice it was raining. I just felt water on my arm.
Water on my arm. Wait, they can't make me sweat.
Yeah, these fools could never make me sweat.
That is disrespectful. It's like I shouldn't have to try against you.
It's like, it wasn't really disrespectful. It was just so overpowered. Like when Orochimaru first attacked Naruto and Sasuke. I'm not adding Sakura in there because she was just there, but that's.
Oh yeah, and on the training grounds for the Shinobi stuff or the Chunin exams. Yeah.
Yep. Just sheer overpower them.
But you do. I mean, and again, just staying in the trope of the Naruto world for a second. Killer B stopping mid fight to write some rhymes against Sasuke.
Yes. That's also just a disrespectful like moment where Killer B is just. Putting in work against Sasuke and Taki? No. Or what was their group's name? Taka.
I think they were Taka at this point, right? Because they went Taka. From they went from snakes to from heavy to Taka. They went from snakes to birds.
Yeah. I think that was after they beat Itachi.
Yeah.
Beat Itachi.
Yeah, when Sasuke joined the Akatsuki for like a day.
Yeah.
It's like, I am Itachi's replacement.
Yeah.
I will be the next Hokage. Bitch, if you don't get somewhere, we haven't been to this village and literally just abandoned us for the past, what, four years?
Just about two or three, because it was a 2-year time skip.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, just. But that whole fight, really, B was just toying with Sasuke the whole fight, which is also fantastic.
He also killed him, like, he would have killed him, like, twice if it wasn't for Karin. Mm-hmm.
Yep, Karin the first time, and then Jugo the second time to give his life, pretty much, to Sasuke, and Jugo became a kid, which, that's a great little, like, you know, henchman to have, is that in the moment you're dying, it's like, they put their hand on you and sacrifice their current lifespan, and it heals you.
Hey, and you get to become younger, so you don't technically age. It's not a bad, honestly, not a bad handoff.
It's a great henchman. Like, hey, yeah, I need somebody like that in my life. I want the brink of death. Just give me some of your life.
Your power.
You'll be a kid. You'll get old again. Just come on, do this for me.
It's like sharing the key and sharing the chakra is just like, it's kind of bullshit. That's what it is, but it part of the world.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't feel like it's because there's healing, you know, healing jutsu. So it's not really. It's technically you have to give your own chakra to heal someone else. So it's just a better version of it because it's like a Keke Genkai for her Karin.
Yeah. I mean, plus Sasuke is able to steal chakra anyway when he gets his Rinnegan Sharingan.
Honestly, I feel like the Sharingan is more bullshit than being able to give your help to someone else. Like, the Sharingan, the Rinnegan are two of the most,
Transferring the powers to everybody, that's It's like, oh yeah, you're meant to have this the entire time. No. Or even Kakashi getting getting the Sharingan first time. Like, I don't think that's sanitary or how any eyes work actually. But
yeah, that whole thing about the Uchihas and all of that, just like transplanting eyes to do this and that. I'm like, that to me, no.
Like, also, it doesn't seem like they actually do any surgery. They just, you know, dig into your eye, pull it out, and then put it in somebody else's body, and it immediately works.
Yeah, them optic nerves connected. Yeah, sure. I'm sure that.
Yeah, those trillions of, you know, nerve endings.
They definitely have the same blood type and everything, too. That's
wouldn't be any cross-contamination or anything like that. All right, Matt, you got a disrespectful moment
for us? I do. Mine is one of the favorite because it's like because of Dragon Ball Z Abridged, but it's like when Vegeta fights off Android 18 for the first time and just gets whooped. Android 18 is just sitting on the car, just standing there doing nothing. Vegeta's going on all full out attack. He's like, I got him. I got her. I got her. And it's like, nope, she just breaks his one arm, then breaks the other. Just, oh.
Yeah, shouldn't she use her knee to break his arm? It's like,
yeah.
that one kick to the side breaking his shit was hilarious.
Like, I think it's weird because like Cell had like so many times like another person would overcome whatever the next odd was, and then another person would until Goku and Cell fought, really. Because when Cell got his second form and Vegeta came back, and then he started making work on Cell's partial semi-perfect Cell. And then he just kept beating him down, and then Cell's like, oh, but if you mean perfect, then I'll give you a real fight. And Vegeta's like, I do want a good real fight, don't I?
Since we're on the topic of Cell, he is also one of the most disrespectful people in Dragon Ball Z. Like, he made a tournament and stood there for a week waiting for someone to just come fight him. He's like, come fight me, I'm going to kill you all anyway.
That was his flaw. He thought he was strong. He was like, I got, you know, I got some of Frieza cells. I've got, you know, some Saiyan cells. I've got this cell and that cell. Like, I'm nobody can beat me. I've got a touch of everybody, of the best DNA out. And
like, y'all just come run this fade. And he pretty much did beat everyone, you know, except for Gohan.
Yeah, also, like, when the tournament first started, I thought it was like, okay, cool. Everybody would fight him. We'll get to see everybody versus Cell kind of thing. And then they'll tear him down. They'll weak him down. Nope. And it was like, nope, Goku's just going to start this fight. It's like, I thought Goku's supposed to be the savior, not the initiator.
Also, the fact that Goku gave Cell a Senzu Bean after he was like close to death. He's like, no, I want you to find me as strong as that. We could have won this. Easy. Had not had these problems. You know, the fate of the world doesn't matter. You got to have a good fight.
Mm-hmm. A great one to bring up is in Bleach, especially because Bleach is about to return the 1,000-year Blood War arc. Cannot wait. I think it's October of next year. It's when it's going to be out. Yeah. But, I mean, the preview's out, so I can watch the preview. It gets you hype. But back in Soul Society, after Ichigo and them successfully saved Rukia, and Aizen revealed that he wasn't actually dead and he came back to take the thing out of Rukia, I watched the video and it reminded me how disrespectful this was. When Ichigo was in his Bankai form, you know, he just got Bankai, he just beat Rukia's brother, Byakuya, with his Bankai, and you know, he's been tearing through Soul Society like it's nothing, like beating captains left and right? He goes to attack the having returned Aizen. Aizen, and as this is happening, Ichigo's theme song is playing. Like, you know, his theme, you'd have to go back and find it to hear the music for it, but his theme song is playing as he's going in to attack Aizen.
Wait, is it Aizen, that? Da, 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 da.
He goes into attack Aizen. Aizen stops the Bankai with one finger. Just one finger stops the blade. And the moment Aizen stops the attack, the theme song also cuts off. So I stopped you so hard, I stopped your music. Like, it's like cut all of it. and then like drops the finger down on the blade and then like slices up Ichigo. And then me, I thought that was hilarious and disrespectful because it was kind of just like, because of how much Ichigo was just like showing how strong he was and doing all this stuff nice. It's just like one finger stop, cut your theme music. Like you ain't, like you're not that guy, pal. And like, that's what that moment was.
Gosh, that was a good moment. You made me want to go back and watch Bleach, but definitely do like a hard skip any filler episode.
I'm probably going to reread the whole arc for this before the anime comes out so I can get excited again. Watch, see my boy Grimmjow.
Also, that was when he came out of that portal after they just had some big fight and saw Ichigo and was like, hey, you want to fight? You look strong. And just worked him.
That is, oh, that's another disrespectful moment.
Yes, yes, it was. He came out and he was like, boom, boom, boom.
Grimmjow was beating the fuck out of Ichigo.
And it was like, oh yeah, there's only 10% of my power too. Because yeah, really
he let Ichigo, he also let Ichigo go Bankai and was still like giving him that work. And then he told him that he wasn't even, he was, and when he was made to stop, he was like, next time, like you won't make it, you know, out of this. Because I wasn't even in my released form. And Ichigo was like, your release form? And Grimmjow was like, yeah, bitch. And like, peace out. I was like, oh, Grimmjow, that's my guy.
Yeah. Like, he wouldn't even, like, he didn't even, is essentially saying he didn't even use, like, the special power of his Zanpakutō. So, like, the release form just would have been, like, a Shiki, right? And then they have a Bankai form as well. Like, that for Grimmjow would have been him turning into, like, his Panther form.
I think that is his quote-unquote released form is what he was doing. Okay. Was going into that. Yeah, because he was like, you know, was here, was beating you up, not barely using my sword, giving you these hands, but, you know, this isn't even my full power. Because, again, Ichigo did do Bankai, so he was full-powered. And, yeah, Grimmjow was like, I wasn't even. This isn't even 15% of my power.
Yeah, because I thought he was, yeah, at the beginning of the fight, he, like, didn't even take his hands out of his pockets or something.
Yeah. Yeah, Grimmjow gave Ichigo that the beat down of a lifetime.
It's like, for also Bleach, when Zaraki, is that the correct way?
Zaraki Kenpachi?
Yeah, yep. Zaraki, when he was first introduced, I mean, and when he reveals that his eye patch is just like, oh yeah, I'm just weakening myself for the enjoyment of the fight. That's
yeah, he's like, I got these bells on my head and this eye patch on my eye.
Trying to give all the advantage to my opponent just so I can help lose. It's like, no, that's...
I'm too powerful without it.
Also, the fact that Kenpachi, like, for the majority of the show, just cannot even use his Zanpakutō other than just to slash. And that's why it's, like, just fucked up all the time.
Yep. It has no name. He doesn't even know anything about his Zanpakutō. Nothing. It's just got a sword that he just fucking people up with.
Yeah.
Isn't the sword like rusted too? Like it's not as sharp as it should be.
Well, it's not sharp because he just hacks at stuff and he doesn't take care of it at all.
Yeah. So it's just rigid as all get out. You're like, it's like you think Inosuke's blades are bad. Like.
I love Inosuke after when he got the swords back, he starts chewing on them right away.
That is also disrespectful because he's like, you got that sword and it was just like way outside to hit it on a rock.
And then, I don't need these straight blades.
It's like, they don't look as cool.
Got so pissed. Gosh, that was funny.
Oh, I was going to say, the one for Fairy Tail that always gets me is when after the Natsu time skip, pretty much. And Natsu comes back for the Grand Magic Games and just walks in there.
One shot.
Just walks in there and just starts burning everything. It's like, I just want to fight the strongest guild after being away for some time. And he just melts everything.
Yeah, Natsu's return. I really wish they would have let him stay like that. I like the long hair, badass looking Natsu.
Yeah, I did too. Also, the fact that he came in and was like, yeah, I'm going to fight both of you. He fought Dragon and Sting. Not Dragon, Sting and Rogue.
Rogue.
Yeah.
Different fight, but.
Yeah, different fight. Yeah, that was the first time. Yeah,
I'm saying like.
Different tournament, but yes, when he did do that, because it was Grimmjow and. Not Grimmjow, Gajil and Natsu versus Sting and Rogue And Gajo and Natsu were actually are seemingly losing the fight to Sting and Rogue. And then when they fell down, Natsu pushed Gajo in the mine cart and pushed him down into the mines. And then Natsu was like, and now I'm going to actually win this fight.
And then proceeds to win this fight.
Yeah.
Still love the travel when they were on the train side for their fight, like they were traveling and all of them were just suck since they're demons or dragon slayers, they all can't be in moving cars or anything without getting nauseous. That was so cute. We can say anything that Saitama does in One Punch Man.
Literally. Saitama, I think he was fighting. Who was the fast one? Super Sonic?
Yeah, Speedo Sonic.
Yeah, and he tried to slash Saitama and like Saitama wasn't even paying attention. He saw the blade. He was like, just bit in half.
Or the lovely punch to the nuts.
Oh, yeah. Like, he wasn't even punching him. He just had his hand there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for, honestly, for One Punch Man, it's just any time Saitama goes against Speed of Sonic. Because he doesn't try at all, and he just continues to embarrass him. So much so that Speed of Sonic was considering going into a demon form as well later on.
I guess you can't really put King on the list, but King, I mean, all he does is just stand there and he gets...
No, we're not considering King, because King hasn't actually done anything disrespectful. Mm-hmm. He's just done a bunch of lucky ass shit. If we were having the most lucky characters in anime, then I would say King.
He's just there at the right place, right time, and just gets recognition for doing nothing. He's trying to avoid conflict, and yet conflict finds him.
And he keeps getting in situations where he almost gets found out, and then he just keeps getting saved by some miracle. It's like, oh, I guess I don't have to do that.
Yeah, King's a bunch of bullshit, but...
I was going to say Gojo and him fighting...
Sukuna the first time?
Sukuna the first time and Jogo.
Yeah, when he
said domain Jogo's as well. Sorry, so I'll let you do Jogo's. The reason I said Sukuna the first time because I'm looking at an image of it, and it was just the fact that it was, you know, Sukuna's first return, and
they hyped him up so much.
And well, just like the fact that during the fight, when Sukuna went into attack, Gojo disappeared and came back, and when Gojo came back, he was sitting on Sukuna. Like Sukuna was in like, you know, on in like the all fours position of like yoga and or like a tabletop position, and Gojo's just sitting on his back, just chilling.
And, and it's like, I can't let you beat me in front of my student.
I'm gonna have to show off my students watching, and proceeded to disrespect Sukuna.
But you Gojo went and got Yuji to bring him to the fight. And he's like, oh, I want to teach you a lesson. Come here with me. It's like,
yeah. I mean, the whole thing, because Jogo, he was like, yeah, I can beat him. I'm like as powerful as like five fingers. And he's like going all out and, you know, using all this lava, all these powerful attacks. And Gojo's like, you know what? This would be a good learning moment, and just stops in the middle of the fight to, go get Yuji. And he's like, hey, just sit there, Yuji. As long as you're by me, you don't have anything to worry about. He's not that strong. So,
also, just the fact that when Jogo thought that he had killed Gojo the first time, and he was trying to, he was like, actually, you haven't touched me yet. And Jogo was like, what? He's like, yeah, you haven't hit me yet. He was like, I have this infinity. And he was like, what? He was like, look, you can't touch me. And like, he was like, I'm not going to hit you. Like, just come here, try to touch me. And Jogo was like, I don't feel any like threats or intimidation here. And I went to go touch him. And then you realize he couldn't touch him because of the infinity. And then Jogo was slowly talking to him. And then
grabbed his hand.
Yeah, had the hand thing. And then proceeded to, kick his ass.
Make him feel comfortable. And then just bam.
look, I'm not going to hurt you. Look at this. Yeah, we're all friendly. But bam. Yeah.
And then also, like, when he put him into the domain, Jogo put Gojo and Yuji into their domain, and he was like, ha, got him in my domain, there's nothing they can do. And he's like, yeah, that would be if, you know, I couldn't overcome it. And then, you know, proceeded to put his own domain over top of that. And
And then next thing you know, all there was Jogo's head. That's all that was left. It was just a head.
Gojo is just a disrespectful character in general. You know, it'll be cool when we get to finally see his past animated. So,
yeah.
But he's always been a smug motherfucker.
Because did they say where they're going to end on the season two? Were they going to end right before the Shibuya incident? If we know.
I have no idea. I'm just excited for the movie to come out.
Mm-hmm. Chapter zero.
Chapter zero.
I'm thinking back to Naruto, though, when Sasuke used Naruto's hand to figure out, like, to finish his hand seal. I felt like that was pretty disrespectful. During their final fight. It's like, you can't use their hand seals if you only have one hand, which is such an arbitrary fucking rule, because how many times have we seen anyone use jutsus without using hand seals at all throughout, like, the whole series?
So, I mean, it was just, because watching it, I think, this past summer with Michael and Sarah, they watched the first episodes, and they just talked about, like, oh, you have to practice your hand signals, because that's how you summon better techniques. This is a more complicated hand symbol, the more power you can put out. But then like you said, like, a couple, just two arcs later, they're like, oh, yeah, we don't really need these hand signals anymore. You just got to sign these contracts, and you'll get power.
Yeah, it was not even the contracts. Like, half the time, they're just like, hey, I'm going to use this hand signal right here, and which you... No, just put your fingers to your index finger, middle finger, and just, hey, summon chakra that way. And other than, I feel like when they got back to the Shinobi War, it didn't really matter to use hand sealed other than that. That was my only, like, you know, frustration with it, but definitely thought it was disrespectful to use your opponent's hand to finish off your seal so you could use a jutsu.
Absolutely. He did that. He was stealing Naruto's chakra during the fight. Like, anytime Naruto thought he was doing something, like, nope, actually, I'm just absorbing your chakra from you. Thank you. Give me that.
Thank you. Come again.
That's right.
I know. And then I know we talked about I started this off talking about Ichigo and Aizen. But then at the end of their fight, at the final Aizen fight, you did have the disrespectful moment of Ichigo, like, because they were on the earth in that town, and Aizen, you know, was kicking everybody's ass, and Ichigo finally shows up after hiding in that in between with his dad to train. And when he shows up, he's in front of Aizen. He talks about, like, wanting to go elsewhere, and Aizen's, like, speaking in mid sentence. Ichigo's palm is on Aizen's face, and you can see the shock in Aizen's face, being like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden, they are just over a desert.
Like, mm-hmm. Over, like, the canyons and stuff. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So disrespectful of Ichigo to be like, eh, shut the fuck up talking. Just, like, and just shoved Aizen all the way there. Because when they got over the location, it wasn't like he just dropped him, like, you know, just a little put him down slowly and thing. He then just threw Aizen with still one hand on the face, just threw him into the desert.
Gosh, and then they did their sword attacks. He's like, ha, see, my sword swings are so powerful that, you know, I destroy mountains in the surrounding area. And Ichigo knew that that was his attack and just didn't tell him and let Aizen believe that.
Yeah. Not to the very end, he was like, those were actually my sword swings, dumbass. And I was like, oh. I'm the powerful one here.
Not until my plot armor.
it is kind of plot armor. Anytime Ichigo would, like, power up, like, oh, it's supposed to take, you know, 10 years to unlock a Bankai.
3 days.
I give you 3 days. Reasonable.
But his potential is so high.
I mean, Ichigo beating Zeraki Kenpachi is the biggest bullshit that ever happened in Bleach.
Like, Ichigo beating Zenpachi, like, yeah. That's like Luffy beating Crocodile. Shouldn't have happened.
Shouldn't have happened.
And that was before his Bankai.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Yep. Yeah. He didn't have a Bankai.
Should not have happened.
He actually beat, like, Zeraki pretty much had Ichigo beat. He broke his sword and everything. And then all of a sudden, like, because his sword, when he was first attacking Kenpachi, his sword could hit Kenpachi and it would deal no damage at all. And then slowly somehow he was starting to be able to cut. Like he was pretty much dying. Like, Ichigo was dead. And then in his inner world somehow got a power up, and his sword came back from being broken to being a full, completely healed sword with stronger Ryatsu, and then was able to cut Zaraki. And I was like, this is already horseshit. And then beat Zaraki. And I was like, nah, fam.
Especially as, you know, the series goes on and we actually see how strong Zaraki is.
Mm-hmm. But the last one I can think of, and, you know, you guys definitely just continue to speak about other moments you remember in anime. But one we talked about before we really began being the Meliodas Fraudulent fight, like that was so badass. It was like Meliodas' first time really showing his demon form, and like with, you know, with the dark tattoo on his face or whatever. And as he was beating up Fraudulent, it was like he was using it as a punching bag essentially. And the moment that he was, you know, Fraudulent was keeled over with all the holes in his body that Meliodas had done to him, he like walked up and just gently patted his face, gave him a couple of love taps on the face.
He was like, don't worry.
Smack the absolute shit out of him. the biggest bitch slap I've ever seen in anime.
It was crazy because he just tapped his face first. And he's like, oh, it's okay. And then, it's in the line.
One of those, there, little one. But then, like, not only that, because then, like, you have the whole, after that happened, and Fraudulent was like doing a few more things because he had taken over that Magic Knight's body, but was actually raising the son as if he was the actual dad. When the son came back, he, you know, Fraudulent was like, I'm no longer gonna kill anybody, you know, like Meliodas, I want to die, kill me. And Meliodas didn't hesitate. There was no hesitation at all. He smirked. He had the biggest smirk on his face and then hit him with the hardest uppercut that took away the entire upper half of Fraudulent's body.
Bitch, I'm going to give you your wish.
He was like, shit, say less.
Say less. I don't know if have you watched Kuroko no Basket, Matt?
It's been a while. It's been years.
Yeah. But I would say a disrespectful moment is when there's just a couple, but it's all with Akashi when he's in his like dual form. But the first is when he pulls those scissors to Taiga's neck when Taiga refuses to leave when he's just having a generations meeting. And he was like, yeah, I told you to leave. This is generations only. Also, you're standing too tall, so kneel before me, and just pushed him to the ground. But also when he did that in the middle of a match and he was like, yeah, you're standing too tall, crossed him up and then had him on his knees. Like, really, dude?
Yeah, because his ability was Emperor Eye, right?
Something yeah.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, was he like a point guard?
Yeah, Akashi was a point guard. And that, so, and obviously point guards are typically shorter, so that was also his thing with how like you're standing too tall, because he was, you know, shorter than a lot of people, so he'd bring the defender down, like, you can't be looking down at me, son. Cross him up, the defender's on the ground. It's like, that's right, you stay down there, peasant.
Like, yeah, you're gonna kneel before me.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? I have one Karma from a assassination classroom. He's just he's, what, the second smartest kid in the school, but still in the delinquent class. But all he does is just skip class and just show up whenever he wants. And it's like, oh, yeah, like, is there studying or anything? It's like, oh, let me just solve this equation that nobody else can figure out anyway. Walk off.
Also, another disrespectful but hilarious moment was from Tokyo Revengers when they were having that fight club and Draken and Mikey were walking in and everyone was bowing and the dude was like, yeah, hey. He, like, you know, did, like, a little 15-degree bow, and then Draken just, like, kicks him in the sun. He's like, you thought that was low enough. Get on your hands and knees. Yeah, I love Draken. He's a great one.
I got to catch up. I haven't read the manga in a few weeks. I got to get back to it.
I think I'm a few weeks behind as well. There's still They were still having that big fight the last time I was reading, though.
Yeah. Without saying too much.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm a solid, like, what, 30 chapters, 40 chapters behind you.
You're not far.
Yeah. We'll be there day and a half. There are so many disrespectful yet funny moments in anime. The list can go on forever, but those are just a few of our favorites that made us laugh, made us just like, that was disrespectful. But yeah, definitely my top out of all of them was Madara, just because anytime. I actually saw a meme the other day, which I think I shared with you guys, which was like a guy sitting back playing video games. It's like, oh, the 5 Shinobi Army still sitting back. The 5 Kage still sitting back. And there's like Gai Sensei. All right, Ben, sit forward.
Sits up. He just sits up slightly. He's like, okay, we can finally start gaming.
Oh, I just remember the moment I was thinking of. It was from Overlord when he's about to fight the army, and he just starts using random spells, and he's just like, oh, that's what that does.
I thought about Overlord 2 for a second.
Matt, you gotta watch
Overlord. I saw the one the Overlord when they're at the church, and he summons, oh, I took like 17 years to learn this one spell to cast like the over like level 7 demon to come onto Earth to resurrect in ritual. And Overlord's like, oh yeah, that spell, that was a good one back in my day when I was like level 6. I was like, oh, you can't say that.
But yeah, he was fighting this army, and then he uses a spell that he's like, I wanted to use it for a while, but I just never had a chance. And it just summons these, like, huge, like, I don't even know if they're spire creatures, just aberrations.
Weird thing, yeah.
Yeah, there were some kind of aberrations. And he literally was just like, that's what they do. Huh.
It's pretty cool.
He's like, I didn't know I was going to summon that many. Oh, okay, awesome. again, just looking at this list, Kurapika. Not Kurapika, sorry, Killua.
Yes.
When they were going through that tournament and they were like, you know, in pairs and whatever, and they had to fight those prisoners. The fact that the strongest, most scariest one of the enemies they had to fight was there, and they had to go up against Killua. And this is before like everyone knew how strong Killua was. And the prisoners like, we're fighting to the death. The prisoner was like, we're fighting to the death, and I'm going to kill you, kid. And then Killua was like, no, okay, I'm fine fighting to the death. And everyone's freaking out. And the next thing you know, Killua has the guy's heart in a bag.
Still beating.
Still beating, and everyone was shocked about that. But it didn't end there. It was the fact that the guy was like, that's my heart. Give me my heart back. And like fell because he died, but fell with his hand out. And Killua was like, okay, here's your heart back, and like put it in his hand. Like, here you go, here's your heart, and like into the dead man and walked off.
Leorio was just in there. He's like, he's just shocked. He's like, you're not allowed to do that. Like, that's like, and Gon's like, oh, good fight, Killua. Good job. We won. We get to.
Gon is so like oblivious, I feel like, to some of the things that happen. Well, yeah, he's like, oh, that's fine. He killed him.
Yeah, because he was like the only one that kind of knew a bit more about Killua. But then again, at the same time, like nearly none of them knew that he was, you know, part of an assassin family and, you know, was tortured his whole life and could take a man's heart out. And even Killua was like, that's kind of messy. My dad would have done it with no blood. And I was like,
The whole Zoltik family is pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
Not really disrespectful, but one of the funny moments in that was when Killua's brother and Hisoka are like planning this attack to capture Killua, and Hisoka's like, you know what? I should probably kill Killua. And he's just like riling him up. What's his name?
Illumi.
Yeah, and Hisoka's like, I was just kidding. Relax. Yeah.
And he did it to like help Gon and Killua and them, because when doing that made Illumi's like bloodlust spark immediately, because he was like, no, I'll kill you before you can touch my brother. And that bloodlust that sudden spark of bloodlust was picked up on by Gon and them, and they were like, okay, they're out there, goodbye, and like ran off.
Like, you did it on purpose. Yeah. Like, I think that was pretty obvious.
So yeah. But there are so many fantastic disrespectful moments in anime. And I can't wait to see like just even more that come out as more and more animes are being made and released. And go ahead.
Oh, sorry, forgot one that was just great. Kizaru, like him fighting the generations. Oh, have you ever been hit by a light speed kick?
Yeah.
And then proceeds to kick him at the speed of light. Like every single one of them were just disrespected.
And even when he wanted to kill, Zoro, and he was standing above Zoro, the first thing was going to hit him, and Robin stopped it by grabbing Zoro and, like, trying to roll him away. Kizaru just teleported over to, like, you know, light speed over to Zoro, stomped on Zoro, and so at this point, Kizaru's full body weight is on Zoro, because he has one leg standing on Zoro to stop him from being moved anymore by Robin, while the other leg is in the air, powering up a light, like, one of the light beam kicks. Like, that was truly supposed to be standing on a man and be like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stand on you, but I'll do it.
Kizaru, grade A asshole right there. Oh, Ben Beckman. I definitely hate Akai more, but Kizaru is not a likable character.
I don't know. I like Kizaru because he hasn't really done anything to be unlikable to me.
Other than just be a... he's like a Toby kind of character. Yeah, I guess. He's just... a quirky asshole.
Yeah, he goes out there to just do things, but he doesn't like. He's very much the in between of Akainu and Aokiji, because he will actually follow orders to an extent, and doesn't like want to let people go. But even with the Sabaody Archipelago, when Kuma came in and was stopping him from, you know, killing all the Straw Hats, and instead was sending them away with his paw technique. And they knew that that's what Kuma was doing, was sending them away instead of Kizaru stopping Kuma, because obviously, even though Kuma was a Shishibukai, he's impeding in what the Navy was trying to do against an admiral. So, you know, Kizaru could easily stop or attack Kuma, but instead he just let it all happen.
That's true. I wonder what, like, Kizaru is like. End goal is, if he's just like in it kind of for the shits and giggles, or if he is like really just following the, you know, the creed of the Marines to a T, which is just following whoever the fleet admiral is. Yeah. And he's still with the Marines, whereas Kuzan left.
Yep. That's what we think.
Yeah.
He's a member of S.W.O.R.D.
I guess also food. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
When Luffy pushes a zombie back into the pile. So this is stuff, that's not as disrespectful.
Also so hilarious, man. Yes. No. Back down.
Literally walks up, see them jump out of the dirt. He's like, now you can go back to sleep. Better. I love Luffy. Also, when it's like that prison that they were in after Skypiea. And Luffy's like running, or, you know, seeking behind this guard, and he looks behind him, and Luffy's behind him after that, and it just like turns back to the camera. Great scene.
You good, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, no, I just remember that part. Like, that's so disrespectful. Just they're there.
I didn't know if you had anything else you wanted to speak on, because I know you didn't have too many, but maybe we were stealing some of your sauce.
Yeah, that's pretty much all. I mean, that's pretty much all the list I have. Pretty much. I mean, Escanor, we can always talk about Escanor too. Just, I mean, whenever he went to the Lion's Den of Pride, whenever he reached High Noon, he just looks down on everybody and...
Everything is disrespectful. He's like, oh, you can't attack me. I mean, it's not going to do anything, but...
Yeah. Like, you're just a mosquito on the wall, and I'm just here to smack you.
Escanor is definitely, I wouldn't say my favorite sim, but he's up there.
Right. But guys, we appreciate you all listening in. Be sure to follow us on social media. We are on Instagram as The Anime Feast, on Twitter and YouTube as Anime Feast. you know, like, you know, follow us on social medias, like the videos, subscribe. You know, we very much appreciate your support. Tell your friends and your family about us. Drop a comment on some of your most favorite disrespectful moments in anime. We would love to kind of hear input from you all, as our viewers, as our listeners. Until next time.
Stay hungry, my friends.
Peace.
Peace.